can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live, Laugh, and Be You, the radio show with a different point of view. How does it get any better than that? My name is Audrey Lynette, and I'm hosting today with our wonderful co-hosts, David and Lynn Lazowski. Hi, David. Hi, Lynn. Woohoo!
All righty.
We hope you can hear us there. I can't hear everybody, so how does it get any better than that in this 10 seconds? But that'll get sorted out, because we have the marvelous Doug, who's taking very good care of us.
Right.
So what else
he was congratulating you because he forgot to count you down, and you started exactly where you're supposed to start. So he just pulled the plug and let us know that you were right on spot.
Yes, I love following the energy. Thank you, Doug.
There you go.
How does it get any better than that? I was just listening to the music, too, because it was like the rain has gone. Well, where I'm sitting, it definitely has. I found myself a wonderful place sitting up above the Santa Barbara and overlooking the Pacific Ocean, so I can wave to all my friends in Australia. Woohoo! Hey, everybody down there, down under.
Well, that's not fair. We're sitting in Kansas City, and the best we can do is look across the river and wave to everybody in Kansas.
Hey, high five, everybody. Ready? Kansas City, California, Australia. Woohoo! High five, everybody. And wherever you are listening to us from anywhere, we wish you the best. We hope you're having a wonderful time, whatever that is. And if you're not, we hope we make it a little bit better with what we come out with today. I'm really excited. This is a fun show for me, just because we're talking about things that not everybody talks about. I know we put it on our website that we were going to be talking about OCD, ADD, ADHD, and autism, just to name a few. And my point of view about those things is there's some really amazing capacities in the world. And a lot of the kids and the adults that I've met in my time traveling around doing the access work are showing up more and more with these wonderful capacities. And in my chats with David and Lynn, it's been really evident that they too have come across people in their lives who have amazing capacities. Lynn's son and Lynn both have a wonderful gift of the ADD. And I think you've probably heard that I was diagnosed OCD and highly functional, which is always good. How does it get any better than that? But it was quite a limitation for me before I came to Access. So ever since using the tools of Access, last 10 years, I have had more peace, more ease, and more clarity than I'd ever had growing up, and it just keeps getting better and better. So I actually had more ease after I was introduced to Access in 4 days by using a wonderful tool that we're going to share with you later on today. It's called Who Does It Belong To? A wonderful question that you can live in if it's fun for you. And it's facilitated me having so much more ease with the OCD, and now I don't have the disorder part of it. I have the phenomenal capacity part of it. So how does it get any better than that? And the beautiful thing about today is a very dear friend and wonderful being on the planet, Jill McCormick, who is, you're going to hear all about her yourself. She herself has been a functional autistic all of her life, and she continues to be so. She's doing some amazing work out there in the world, inviting people and kids to a different perspective and supporting them through their own awareness as well. So Jill's coming online today to talk to us about what she's contributing to the planet with the Access tools and the amazing awarenesses that she has with these phenomenal capacities. So if you're interested in hearing about the practical application of Access tools for beings and people with this capacity. And some of you might be out there thinking, well, I'm not really sure whether I do have that or not. That's okay, because after you've listened to us or Jill, you might begin to realize just how capable you are or how you have some of those amazing capacities up your sleeve. And Jill is going to be doing a telecall in a couple of weeks called, I just went totally out of my head. She'll tell you all about that.
When Disabled Hides Ability.
When Disabled Hides Ability. Oh, I love you, David. Woohoo! When Disabled Hides Ability.
February 6th is when it starts.
February 6th is when it starts, and it's going to be phenomenal. She has
and it covers other areas besides autism and OCD and ADD, doesn't it?
Absolutely. See, that's the thing. It's like a lot of the quote-unquote disability part of these capacities are spread around the world. However, there's other things in our everyday life that we sort of come up against, you know, procrastination. I know I had that. Thank goodness for Lynn and David.
No, not at all. That goes away when we turn 21, doesn't it? Yes.
I think we all have a streak of terror in us from Gone with the Wind. Tomorrow. Oh, no, wait a minute, that's Annie.
Yeah.
I got my shows mixed up.
You get me shows mixed up.
Go ahead.
Woo-hoo. And so it's like these capacities and the quote-unquote disability part of it, when you do listen to the telecalls with Jill, you'll get a sense that they're not a disability, they're just a choice, and we can change them. Now, if you've ever felt like that's never going to change, and you'd like a different possibility, woohoo, then you might want to listen in on Jill's telecall in a couple of weeks and continue listening to us today as we banter around the Kansas City, California world, big dining room table.
Yeah, pretty good size, half the country. Part of Canada and a little bit of South America. Mexico.
Let's go global, guys. Woohoo!
I think the important thing for somebody who is labeled ADD or autistic or whatever label they want to put on them, from my own experience, is getting out of the wrongness of you. I was always made wrong because I always, from the outside, it always looked like I was chasing chickens, but I never got bogged down with details. I could see the picture from A to Z very fast, and I could see the whole picture in front of me, but I couldn't get anybody to go as fast as my brain was going. So when we met, you asked me some very specific questions, and it just started to click in that I wasn't this wrong person, that I had a lot of gifts and talents, and just because they didn't belong to everybody out there the same way, they were very good gifts and talents.
Yes. Yes. Yay. I loved it.
Yay.
Hello, rock on. Woohoo. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you shared that, Lynn. Yes. That's one of the beautiful things that I see whenever I facilitate or wherever I go, when people actually start to acknowledge that they aren't wrong and that everything that they're doing. Here's the thing, I got excited again. Sorry, my ADD slipped out. I got carried away.
Well, it's very easy because mine slips out all the time. And from personal experience, being a mom who had a kid labeled ADD, I went against everything that they were saying. I did not want to drug him. To drug him took away all his gifts and talents. And he was very high-functioning. He tested very high. So he wasn't stupid, but he was made to feel stupid all the time because he just couldn't conform to what they wanted in school. He was a hunter personality like I am, and in school you have to be a farmer personality, and the two worlds clash all the time. And so I don't know how to bring the two worlds together. All I know is that I was determined not to let him be wrong in anything as far as his gifts and talents and how he needed to present them to the world.
Wow. How does it get any better than that? How did you get so lucky to have a mom there that was willing to be that?
Rock well, it was on, hard because back then you don't have a lot of support system, and the only choice that they give you is drugs. And I saw what the drugs did to him, and I wasn't willing to do that any longer. So I said no to the drugs, and I pulled him out of school, and I homeschooled him. And then we found an alternative school, which he was forced to drive to far away from our home, live in a hotel room, and have food that I packed up for him, and be in an accelerated school that he finished the last 2 years of high school in 4 months.
Yeah.
So that is how we got him through high school and convinced him that he was not what everybody leads all these kids to believe, that he was retarded in any way.
Wow.
So that's why I'm so I'm excited about talking to Jill today, because she can answer some more questions that we all have and questions that my clients ask me, you know, about different things and different approaches that they can take with their kids and what can work and what, you know, doesn't work and everything. So I'm excited that when she finally gets here, she'll be here.
Yeah, I just texted
I'm
Dennis
here. I'm
number.
Here.
Jill! Yay!
Yay!
Hey, Jill. Welcome, honey. It's good to have you online.
Woohoo!
Thanks for having me. We made it without injuring anyone on the highway getting here.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Not does it.
Yeah, thank you. Jill just finished work and it's right time to be on the line with us. So, everybody, this is Jill McCormick, who we've been talking about, and woohoo! How does it get any better?
Hi, Jill. Yeah, my name is Linda, and the other person that will be saying hi is my husband, David.
Yep, David. David here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Everybody kept wanting to stop me at the door, and I kept going, I have to go. Bye. I was like, I have an important date I can't miss. So it was really
we'll let
awesome.
We'll let Audrey take the lead. Go right ahead,
okay.
Audrey.
Awesome. We're excited. Lynn was just telling us, Jill, about her son, and her son was highly functional ADD, and she was talking about the difficulties that she had with the school system, et cetera, and how at that time, years ago, she didn't have the support to really let her son know that he wasn't wrong, and for herself, that she wasn't wrong. And that's just when you came in, and I was like, oh, fabulous timing. Is there anybody on the planet that I know, and that's just me, who has the capacity to facilitate awareness in this area? It's you, darling, and I'm so excited that we all get to have you here to ask you some really great questions.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been fun as I've become increasingly aware of my capacity to navigate those worlds. I guess I thought that it was just natural for everyone. And finally, I used to get really, really frustrated because I didn't understand why the people I would try to show something with the kids, like why they kept thinking they were different or why they kept thinking they couldn't do things. And I kept going, they're not different. Like, what? Like, don't you just know you just have to do this? And finally, a good friend, Gary Douglas, looked at me and he said, you might want to consider why you don't think it's that different. And I looked at him and was like, huh? You know, because I thought it was really great doing all this because I went to college and I got a degree and I did all this research and all that kind of thing. And he's like, you might want to look at it again because you get really upset when people act like that they can't do things or that it's not obvious how to get them to do it. And so after doing some self-examination, I realized, that's probably because I function just like them. Oh, okay, I get it. I just managed to avoid the labels in my life, because I had really great compensatory skills.
Very cool.
So I'm really happy to be here and answer questions and provide any kind of support to navigate the system, because it can really be daunting to parents. I think parenting in general is daunting. You know,
yes.
Here comes a baby, and you got to know how to do everything for it, and then you have a whole new system of sometimes medical world that you have to navigate while you get diagnosis and labels and medicine or not medicine and navigate the whole school system and that whole language and terminology and then, you know, have your living in addition to that. So I think it can be quite taxing on people to actually know how to translate all those realities and know the languages to speak.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
for myself.
And I know you can do all of that.
For myself, I didn't realize I had anything ADD about me labeling until they were testing my son. And I started reading the questions, and they started asking me questions, and I was like, oh, God, I'm answering yes to all these questions. What is wrong here? And right away, I went into a complete judgment of myself. And how could I pass this on to my son, and why is he here? And it just got all really, really crazy and everything. So I finally did enough research to where I could realize that a lot of different things, and I didn't like the labels. I didn't like what they were saying about him, and I didn't like what they were saying about me. So I think labels are very damaging, which I'm sure you do too. So.
Yeah, it's interesting as I, when I write things, I look at labels and I find how often we are all labeled. In school environments, there were jocks and there were nerds and there were bookworms, and in workplaces, there's the class or the office clown. And I just noticed like how by labeling someone, you're actually attaching a judgment, and nothing but that can show up in that person's universe. They could be the class clown, but they could also be the valedictorian of
right.
the school. And when you attach those energetic, the words don't just have the words, they actually have energy behind them, and those energies prevent people from actually exploring all the possibilities that they can be. Now, I did have an amazing woman that I worked with at Virginia Tech, and she had me look from a different place about labels, because I always went, well, we label all this, but I'm a big believer that you need to ask what's right about the ADD or the autism or the not completing task or whatever it is, the procrastination, what's right about it. Because when you start looking at what's right about it, you can actually start seeing the capacity to do something. And so somebody had sent a YouTube clip about labels, and it was basically saying that the kids shouldn't be labeled ADD, ADHD, and these things. They should be labeled gifted and all these things, which I found really ironic because they're still labels. So
yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's interesting. And she just shared with me, and it got me to look from another place, and so she allowed me to see the value of labels in that there are times where the labels will actually assist when you can't get anyone to look at how your child or you function differently at all. Actually having the label ensures that they have to look to some degree and allow you to function differently. And so that was a great gift for me, because I was like, because I was really kind of in resistance to reaction, going, why do we keep labeling? Why do we keep labeling? And then I went, you know what? I can see your point. Okay, so I can actually have allowance and be able to utilize and have this reality's system of judgment actually facilitate what my child needs or what I need.
Wow. Jill, rock on, honey. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I kind of gone through some shifting, because I think on one hand it was like, oh, they're great and they're marvelous. And what I tell people, sometimes when I talk about these things as capacities, people will like, they want to hear that, and they still need to know how the kid gets their, you know, daily living skills completed. How do you toilet them? How do you get their homework done? How do you, you know, we still have to function and produce in this reality. Right now, we don't have a reality that says you don't have to earn money or have money to buy food and those kind of things. So I can be aware of all these greater possibilities. And so one of the things I really work with the kids is acknowledge, you know what, you are right. This education thing is pretty much insane. You're right. You're probably not ever going to need to know the Gettysburg Address in your livelihood. And guess what? Right now, that's a requirement in this state for you to get this grade, to get this diploma, so you can go and you can create different possibilities for you. The time may come where that's not required. Right now, that's still required. So how do we get you to function the way you function, go the way you go, deliver the information you require, and still be able to be functional and not limit your possibilities here? And so many times I see the label. I actually had a student tell me today, when we're trying to, like, increase his on-task behavior, he said, my mom's not going to care about that, because we were keeping tally marks. And she said, she tells me I'm special. Like, she's not going to care. She's not going to be mad at me.
Uh-huh.
And I just was kind of like, okay, well, awesome. So what do we do for it to be different? And also, I acknowledged, if he's not willing for it to be different, then that's okay. Until he's ready for it to be different,
it's not
up to me to have him make it be different.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So empowering. So empowering, Jill.
I found when my son was in school, he was kind of like covered with little special angels in forms of different teachers. And they would give him his work, and he would get it done so fast. And then he would sit there, and then he would get disruptive because he was bored, and he wanted something else to do. So the teachers worked out a system, and they would send him down to Mrs. Cavanaugh, which was the art teacher. And he would take all his frustration, his anger, his whatever it was that was revving him up at that moment, and he would throw pots on a wheel. And he started making beautiful ceramic pots that won him awards. So they helped him channel all this nervous energy or whatever is around ADD and all that kind of stuff into throwing pots.
Wow. How does it get any better than that? That he was, you know, gifted to have teachers that do that. And I'm glad that that was his experience and that you shared that. I see a lot of amazing people in the world of education, and I see systematic things that don't work, and I see a lot of frustrated people working with kids that know certain things don't work and that kind of thing. And so thank you for sharing that and acknowledging those teachers that did show up in his world. I think it's really important to foster those teachers and acknowledge that in a world where it's kind of a common practice to just do a blatant judgment of education systems are bad, teaching's bad, and all that. And again, I don't have a Pollyanna view. I've been in the roles that I serve in the schools. I've had a bird's eye view of some really amazing things and some things that really, you know, were like, wow, could you please, I'm glad you're here, can we shift this, because this is really not working. And one of the things I do when I go in is kind of look at, I don't have an assumption that anyone in the situation is right or anyone in the situation is wrong. And I would get folders with lots of labels, and I'd have lots of people telling me, well, this is what's going on, and this is what's going on. And so I always am open to hear what they're saying and receive their contribution. I'm also aware, if you're giving me an answer of what it is, if that's what it really was, I'm looking at some amazing, smart, intelligent professionals with lots of tools in their toolbox, and if that's really what was going on, we would have shifted it by now. You wouldn't have me here. So let's ask some questions from some different places to see what is going on. So it sounds like your son had someone who was willing to ask those questions, and so part of what's going on with ADHD, when you were talking about getting the labels and filling out the checklist and stuff, I had this awareness of, I wonder to this day, how many kids we actually have labeled ADHD, ADD, which are actually systematic diagnosis. Only they're symptomatic of what the system is producing. We have kids that move faster, can retain more information globally than have ever been on the planet before. It's amazing to watch what they can see. If you ever go in and watch somebody who's got 10 to 25 windows open on their computer, they've got music playing, the TV's going, and their friends texting them, and they're able to manage all that information simultaneously, and that's when they're more at their optimum speed. And then we take them and ask them to slow down completely and function linearly, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, don't jump around. Well, when they're managing all that information, I guarantee you they are not going, let me start at the first window I opened and then the second window I opened. They're going to where they know to go to get the information they need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes by the system, the way it's set up, they don't get enough input. They don't have information that's applicable to their daily living. One of the things that I did, I had to do an assessment, which is always kind of difficult for me because it's standardized testing that I have to administer with my job as a speech-language pathologist. And I'm laughing because the kid has to get penalized because I show him a picture of vegetables and fruit, and he goes, healthy snacks, which is 100% accurate vocabulary for this generation. He gets counted wrong. because he has to produce vegetables or fruit to name the category. So it's like, okay, that's a tiny one piece of information that I see if you put it across the board and you include all the cultures. My pre-K classes here are like the little United Nations. I have so many different countries and languages represented in that class. And so it's like, wow, if you look at all the differences of that, what it is possible to actually open up a space where everyone can bring what they know, come there with, and then contribute that and grow so knowing grows exponentially versus having a static curriculum that we continue to say, this is an important fact, this is an important fact, this is an important fact. So I look a lot at when you said you were looking at, oh, well, how did I pass this on to my child? And what if you didn't? What if you're somebody who has a great capacity to do something that's maybe beyond multitasking and move at a really fast pace, and he's now getting labeled something because things have changed systematically to where that's not okay. We don't have recess and PE time and body movement time like we used to. Now it's sit in the class, come in, sit in the class, and you're to sit outside of lunchtime and maybe 15 minutes of recess if you're lucky, and you might get PE once or twice a week. Other than that, you're to be at desk working with pencil and paper and not talk and these kind of things. And so I look and I think, wow, I can't meet that criterion in a professional development day. Is it really a reasonable expectation for kids to do that? So what if what you actually facilitated for him was something greater than, and your willingness to see that and step into that and acknowledge it's okay with him, that he just goes differently, you just go differently?
You've kind of been picking up on what we discussed yesterday. We've discussed it for a couple of days now, that folks that are labeled with these tags are just a different kind of normal. And if out of the 7 billion people on this planet, if 4 billion were ADD, autistic, OCD, blah, 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 all those tags, then it would be just reversed. If it's nothing more than just a different kind of normal and there's nothing wrong, all we've got to do is adapt and ask the right kinds of questions. I walked around the state of Michigan with Public Law 35 in the back of my car, chasing all of Jay's teachers, just making them accountable for the things that I knew he needed. But every parent can't do that. And if we're just looking at it through the eyes of access, which does open some other possibilities for maybe blending a different kind of a personality and a different kind of a person into mainstream, why not? It's certainly worth a try, and obviously there's some success.
Yeah, well, it's really awesome to watch and see. Like, access is simply a set of tools and processes that you can apply in any walk of life, whether you're a musician or a teacher or a fireman or a businessman or a mom or a dad, whatever that looks like for you. The exciting thing for me was finding something where I always knew there was something else possible. I always, The Four Agreements, I don't know if you're familiar with that book. I read that and talked about living a life without judgment and not taking things personally and all these things. And I thought it was great. And every day I'd like set off and go, okay, today's going to be the day that I obtain that. And I'd get all twisted around when I went to my first intro for access. It was like, oh, when he started talking, I was like, wait a second. Yay, thank you, universe, because now I'm actually getting tools to get to what I know is possible. It's not about adapting and adopting a dogma. It's like, does this tool work for me? That one doesn't really like float my boat. Okay, wait a minute, but this, wow, this opens up my entire universe, and I can use this. And so one of the huge things I did with my writing of reports, and with my, you know, I'm always an advocate for the kids. When I come to a table, that's my job, is to be an advocate for the parents and the kids and for the teachers and for the administrator. It's like I don't side with one person. It's like, wow, we all have to function here. We all are infinite beings that have something to contribute. I just need to look at all the ways you're all functioning differently and ask you, what do you require? What do you require? What do you require? What do you require? And then we can create a plan where everybody can have that. So one of the big things I did was come out of the polarity of having an answer and getting people, my job being getting them to agree with me. Because if I said something right now to you about your son, if you didn't agree completely, 100% with everything I said, you don't really have a choice in this reality of polarity. You don't have a choice except for to resist and react to me and fight me.
Sure.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm watching all these attorneys and I'm watching hundreds of hours lost by everybody involved. I'm seeing parents that are distraught and feeling like they have to follow everyone around and show them the law. All these things, I'm going, wow, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, we don't need one more telephone. We don't need one more medication. We don't need one more timeout. Simply finding the middle ground, which access allows you, middle ground where no one's invalidated. Everybody can go for a common target, not a goal, but a target, and that ends up being the child. And it's so refreshing, honest to goodness, of all the years that I've spent with my son in the schools and the teachers and the meetings and all that, it is so refreshing to hear a different approach to a problem, at least it was at the time for me, of the challenges of every single 7 days a week, 24/7 we were going through, and to look at it now and hear about it through the eyes of Access Consciousness and the tools, how refreshing. Wow, I'm very grateful for just to be able to hear that.
Yeah,
I wish we had you 11 years ago.
We're I was plugging away in a school district and going, wow, where are all the people? Where are all the people? And now here you are, and I'm just incredibly grateful. I talked to Audrey Lynette about that earlier. I go into certain situations that, you know, I literally told someone recently, I'm like, well, I'd really love to help you out, but I can't do it. You know, I'm fresh out of walking on water miracles this week. You'll have to hit me up Monday, you know? And the power of just being willing to ask a question has opened up so much in a system, and it works in all systems, whether you work in a hospital or you work at a car dealership, any kind of business system. Questions work if you're willing to ask a question, not why, because why is just going to run you around in circles, and you never get anything accomplished. But asking what it takes for this to be different. How does it get any better than this? I've asked that when it looked like there'd be no funding for certain things and people thought I was being flippant and got angry at me. And guess what? My willingness to go, how does it get any better than this? Shifted this from, we can all sit around and say things are bad. We can all sit around and say there's no money. And all my years in education, there's never been a year where they go, woohoo! All the money you can spend, let's go. It hasn't happened yet. And what will it take?
Yes, what else is possible?
Exactly.
Well, in where we're at in North Kansas City, I have two principals and four teachers that are clients, and each and every one of them are very frustrated with what they can do, what they know they would like to do, and we talk about it all the time. And so I know there are great teachers out there in just being frustrated every day trying to work in a system that they know is not workable anymore.
Yeah, and what does that look like in terms of we're doing some book studies about engaging students? And so I am here to say that 10 years later, I've been a speech pathologist for over 18 years. I've been using the tools of Access for over 10 years. And in that time, I see differences. I'm actually in a school district that says, you know what, the number one thing here, before you can get completion of assignments, before you can get academic success, you have to build a relationship with the student. And if you have a trusting, caring relationship with the student, they will produce what's inside of them and what's possible. And so to be in a district that actually talks it, walks it as much as they can. Are they perfect? Of course not. You know, like, it's not, and that's the other great thing about using the tools of Access. It isn't about seeking some insane goal of perfection. It's, wow, where am I today? How does it get better? How can I be greater than? Today I choose to be greater than I was yesterday. In this 10 seconds, if I just lost it, I don't have to judge myself and go, okay, I just went down a rabbit hole. I can go, okay, that was cool. That was fun falling down the rabbit hole of insanity. Now, what would I like to choose? Okay, who's greater than?
You're such a cute rabbit, though.
Just
Do what?
I said, I was just thinking you're such a cute rabbit.
I know. I've done my time running down those rabbit holes chasing the elusive carrot, you know. And
me too.
haven't we all?
Like, what is it? So I did want to say, like, with the ADD and the ADHD, I don't know if Audrey has shared or if you guys have shared with the listeners what that kind of looks like, what access consciousness point of view about that is. Has she talked about that at all?
Well, we should let her talk about that, like, right now.
Talk about
that, Audrey, or would you like me to share? I just didn't know if you had shared what our take about ADHD and ADD actually is in terms of spherical awareness and how that gets split into linear things.
Honey, I would love you to. That would be phenomenal. This is amazing, guys. You're going to have a blast with this. Thank you, honey.
Okay, so with ADD and ADHD, they get information in a total spherical manner. They don't get information in the linear way like we were talking about the ABC and the 1, 2, 3. When you ask them a question, they get an entire download of information. That's way more than what your one question has asked. So with ADD and ADHD, we have found that it's actually a set of specific implants. Just like today we have cheek implants and breast implants and all kinds of implants. I'm sure they're implanting things that I never even thought they could implant. So I'm like, what? You got one implant that they can do that, you know? And I love watching my brother and the guy friends and things, like when they find out, you can do that? Well, that's just, you're just tricking everybody, you know? So the way the energetic type of implants show up here, and remember, like, everything I do, I look at energetically. So you might call it ADD or ADHD, and like I said, I'd get folders that had every label in the book on it, which to me said, this kid functions way out different, and we're not sure what's going on. We know something's going on. We'd like to assist him, and we've only gotten as far as giving him 5 different labels. So if you can do something where he'd actually get to be functional, that'd be awesome. And I've had parents say, please don't tell me what that label means anymore. I don't care. I know he has short-term memory problems. I need to know a way to have him function. And so that's what we bring to the table, are some actual tools to have parents have a little more ease, have kids have a little more ease. So with the implants, what it actually does is it takes this whole spherical awareness, if you can visualize having that whole circle beyond the beyonds of the universe of information, and it takes it and it, like, cracks it like a globe, if you had a glass globe, and it cracks it where the lines go through the glass. And mm-hmm. So the kids get distracted and run down this line and that line and this line, and they can't access the total information. And so when I went to buy my car, I had someone selling me the car, the sales manager, and she said, in the middle of the transaction, we were in her office, she said, I'm sorry, I'm really ADHD, and I apologize if I seem a bit scattered. And I just kind of said, no, you're fine, and we talked a little bit about what I do, and I said, well, you know, this is what we say, you know, we think it's kind of something that is taking the energy and fragmenting it in different directions, and there is a way to use a tool and unfragment it so you can actually access the entire sphere without the distractions being pulled in one direction or the other. I don't know if it'll work for you. If you want to try it, we can try it. If you're not interested, that's cool too. And she's like, no, I'm game. Let's do it. And so we went through, and I asked her some questions about ADHD and all these things. And I said, well, anything that's creating your ability to access all this as one and as whole, anything that's fragmenting that and creating it to in these lines where you go off in one direction or another, will you destroy and uncreate that? Let it go. With my kids, I'll ask them, you know, just like a Supergirl or Superman, you want to destroy and uncreate it, let it go? And they're like, sure, let's blow it up. And so they blow it up, and we move on. What was interesting for me was this was an adult who had the capacity to tell me how things were shifting for her as we did it. Mm-hmm. And so I watched her, and she sat there a minute, and she just kind of sat and was looking around. And they were still paging her on the overhead speaker, and her cell phone was still going off, and her landline was going off, and the computer was bleeping, and 3 salesmen were waiting outside the door for her. But she was just kind of like checking it out, sitting there, and I go, What's different? She goes, wow. And I said, well, tell me, how is it different? She said, well, before all these things, the loudspeaker, my phone and all that, I could hear them and I felt pulled to, I had to answer this, I had to answer that. She said, now I'm aware of all of them and I feel like I have more space to then choose what order they come in.
Very good.
Oh. Yay.
Almost sounds like allowance.
Well, Jill, are you up for a question? I understand Don just broke in and said there is a lady from Ohio that has a question.
Awesome.
Okay. Go ahead, Don.
Wow. And Shane, the counselor, didn't say at least, have you had a dream about
it? Well, Dorothy, you'll have to turn your internet off.
If you want to talk to Jill, you got to turn your internet off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll have to translate because I can't hear her.
Is this Dr. Pat?
Hello? Is this Dorothy?
Hello?
Yeah. No, this isn't Dr. Pat, honey.
No.
Oh, I have the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Well, how does it get any better than that?
Well, greetings to Ohio from Kansas City and California and Texas.
Exactly.
So We're okay with that.
Awesome. Well, they're finding you even without having the number, Jill.
I know. We don't usually take call-ins, and I'm like, do we have a call-in?
Exactly. Okay. And I started to ask her, you think you've got the wrong number, but perhaps you haven't. And then
yes.
I was going to ask, where's the special needs person in your life? I have an uncanny ability to, no matter where I am, I just kind of gotten to go, okay, you're standing here and you're talking to me and we both look confused why you're talking to me. So can we just cut through some of this and go, do you have a brother or a sister? Are you labeled? Are you? Because they find me no matter wherever I go. So I thought, wow, what do you need from Dr. Pat? Maybe one of us can assist you.
Yes.
She's looking. She might have been looking for the Dr. Feelgood show.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's on a completely different network, yes.
Jill Good.
I just want to share, since Linda, you guys have a son that's been labeled ADHD, and you found that, you know, for the ADD that you were looking at that one of the kids I went and evaluated a couple of years ago, when I hit the school, everyone that, like, said, oh, you're here for him, oh, you're here for him, oh, you're here for him, every single one of them told me how ADHD he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most extreme case that they'd ever seen, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I always listen to everyone, and it's cool, and I always walk into a classroom and go, hey, what's going on, what's going up? Because like we talked about before, the labels have benefits if you're trying to get certain things enacted for kids.
Right.
I don't think they give you a whole lot of information, per se, about certain things. So anyways, I go into the classroom, and I'm watching him, and he's standing at his desk, and he's kind of completing certain work and that kind of thing. Excuse me. My dog is barking.
I have cats and mailing to me.
I'm laughing. It's all going on here. So,
well, he has something to share.
I know. It was like, what's going on? Look, I'm trying to tell you something. So I get into the classroom, and he's trying, like he's doing his work and that kind of thing, and I'm standing in front of his desk to the side, and his teacher's standing side by side to him where he's standing, and she and I are having a conversation. And he keeps, quote, interrupting, Miss Smith, and she keeps redirecting him and coming back to the conversation, and he keeps interrupting, what she's calling interrupting. And so I'm kind of watching it all, and I can see that her tolerance is about shot, which, as if you're trying to have a conversation and someone interrupts you, it can be wearing on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching, and so I finally saw that she was about one Miss Smith away from just losing it. You know? And I was like, ooh, okay. And so I looked at her and I said, hey. I said, you know how you can hear 35 people talk at one time? He goes, yeah. I said, well, guess what? Mrs. Smith can only hear one person talk at one time. So do you think that you could know that it's really cool that you can hear 35 people at one time, and it's really cool she can only hear one person at one time? And he went, oh, yeah? And he stopped interrupting. Because in his world, he wasn't interrupting. He thought everybody functioned at the capacity that 35
yeah.
people could talk at the same time simultaneously, and there wasn't anything wrong with that.
There's your confirmation of just a different kind of normal.
See, I didn't see that much wrong with Jay, but that was how I functioned too. It wasn't until we really got in when I met David, because David's kind of a farmer type personality. He's very linear and everything else, that it started to really punctuate. And I'm like, oh my God, you mean not everybody goes as fast as we do? It was a concept. So.
Yeah, so totally different. And with that, just the acknowledgement of how he gets information, you don't, that's what we find a lot, is what comes the easiest for you, you don't value.
Right.
And you assume everyone else can do what you do in the same way. And so when you start asking that question about what's right about these things, what's right about it, you can ask, what's right about me that I'm not getting? What's right about my body, what's right about whatever the label is, you can ask those questions, and a question will open up space for more awareness to come in. And
it
then
certainly
you can
has.
From,
It certainly has, those questions.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Awesome?
Just amazing. So I truly hope everybody will tune in to your telecall and have been listening here and can take a lot of good knowledge away and maybe change the way that they're addressing their kids or asking their teachers to find different ways to address the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, and even broadening it, like how you said you didn't even recognize these capacities in yourself until you started looking at it. Audrey and I were talking about, you know, in the title of the series is when disability hides ability, when disabled hides mm-hmm. ability. And so it really reaches out to anyone. Where are you limiting yourself? Where are you functioning as handicapped or limited in an area of your life that's actually hiding some great capacity that you have?
And
so it really goes...
It's not that people haven't tried, and they're doing a lot of wonderful work out there, and they're doing the very best they can on limited budgets, but we've been doing the same thing for 2012 years in many, many areas of society, and the insanity of doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. This is a perfect opportunity to take some simple tools and take them one question at a time. What would it take, you know, if you're sitting around with a bunch of students or one student that's disruptive or can't do math very well, what would it take for Johnny to be able to do math better? Just asking the question, one simple question. And with several hundred years worth of college education around the table, I'm pretty sure in the end they can figure out how to help him with his math.
We found a book, it's by Thomas Hartman, PhD, and it's a different perspective about ADD and ADHD, and he calls people with ADD hunters, and he calls people that are not labeled ADD as farmers. They are very methodical, they do things, you know, A, B, C, D, and people who are labeled ADD can go from A to Z, and they're not worried about all the little letters in between because those are details and they leave them up to other people. So all the great entrepreneurs of the world like Donald Trump and the man who heads Holiday Inn, and he names quite a few people, they go in and they see the vision and here it is, this is what we're going to do, and then they step aside and let all the bean counters come in and all the administration come in and they figure out all the details because they're already on to the next project.
Yeah, and so just it's taking that and even expanding it greater and greater and greater to see what those capacities are. I've seen some that can be both ADHD and be the bean counters too. I know some pretty incredible people that enjoy that. And then, no, many of us are just, okay, visionary, and we want to do this, but we don't want to get bogged down with these little details. What's been really cool is acknowledging if you have the capacity. So I'll ask, if you have a great capacity to be fast and to generate all these things, why is it true that you can't generate the bean counting at a greater speed also?
Exactly. Wow. And that's one of the, I get excited. Excuse me. I've been listening
to ADD. No, I like it when you get excited. Go, girl.
I've been listening to ADD.
I'm excited you're speechless, and I didn't think that happened, Audrey.
Go for it.
I know, it's so rare, but I'm sitting here listening, and the tears are coming down my face, because I'm like, this is so expansive that beings get to hear this information, in that Dill and I have been talking about this for 10 years, you know, and what can we be, and also uncovering it for ourselves. And I was listening to the ADD, ADHD, and autistic, and I went, ooh, let's throw OCD in the mix. and Jill,
yeah, we don't want to leave anybody out.
No, OCD, pick me. So many of us have had a touch of that, or even commented that we've had a touch of that. And Jill is one of the people that has actually allowed me, because I was seriously OCD when I came. Seriously OCD, that sounds really funny. I was diagnosed as highly functional OCD when I came to Access, and when I came to my first class, my first introduction to Access, and I couldn't even finish a sentence. Like when I first met Gary Douglas in the, at the intro, I couldn't finish a sentence, and all I could do was laugh because I'd made myself so incredibly wrong for the obsessions and the compulsions and doing things as obsessively organized as I did. And I lived under so much judgment that I was like, oh, my goodness, that the more I was in the room and I kept hearing him talk about clearings, and as Jill was talking about before, the implants, but the more the implants kept leaving, the more questions he kept asking, the lighter I became. Finally, at the end of a two-day class where I had changed so much in 2 days. So please know the potency of these questions that Jill's been talking about and we've been sharing, you know, or going to a class, the potency of what can shift is phenomenal. And I was sitting there at the end of the class going, wow, hang on a minute, what do I do now? You know, I've been functioning from all this obsession, compulsion, and I feel so much lighter than I ever did before. And I raised my hand and I said, hey, Gary, you know, it's like I've been labeled OCD and functioning out there in this reality. What do I do now? How do I cope with that? And bless his heart, he turned to me and he didn't tell me what to do. He said, so, Audrey, is OCD an ability or a disability? I went, who? Huh? No one had ever asked me that. Everybody had told me it was a disability. They told me what was wrong with me. They told me why it was annoying to them. They told me how it was disturbing them, how it was irritating, all of that. And the doctors told me how much medication I'd have to take and all the therapy I'd require. No one had ever said to me, is this an ability? And in that second when he asked me that, the lightness just went through. And he said, okay, so if it's an ability, he said, what we've talked about many times and what he's found with working with kids with OCD is that beings with OCD have the ability to pick up everybody else's stuff, you know, their yep. thoughts, their feelings and their emotions from all around. Can be a 2 mile radius to a 2,000 mile radius, and each of us are a little different. So he said, so, do you have that capacity? I'm like, uh-huh, because when you're aware, you just know, and it makes you feel lighter. You know, if something makes you feel lighter, it's the truth. If it's heavy, it's a lie. I felt so light in that moment. And he said, so, Audrey, and here's the tool I was mentioning at the beginning of the call. So if you have a pen, now's the time to grab it, because this is a goodie.
Because we're almost out of time, too.
Okay. And he said, who does this belong to for every thought, feeling, and emotion that you have? And if you ask that question for every thought, feeling, and emotion you have for the next 3 days, you will have quiet in your head. And, ladies and gentlemen, I did. I did it for 3 days, and on the fourth day, I had quiet in my head. You've all heard me be really quiet today, which is unusual. That quiet was also in my head. How does it get any better than that?
And look how gifted and talented you are, and what a wonderful person you are.
Yeah, baby. Thank you.
And when you came in and we spent five glorious days around the kitchen table, you opened that whole world up for not only me, but for David also.
And I've got a little housekeeping to do here as we wrap our show up.
Well, first let's thank Jill before we get too caught up and run out of time.
That's going to be part of it.
Okay.
I'm the farmer.
All right.
And just on that, you know, when disability hides ability, you know, we all have those abilities. And if you want to, Jill is amazing. And I'll let you do it, Dave. I'm just so excited, Jill, that you're out there doing this in the world. Thank you for
Jill,
all of us.
My understanding is that, you have a website coming up this weekend?
I sure do at askjilly.com.
All right. Askjilly.com and askjilly@gmail.com would be an email address. And if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about the class that Jill and Gary Douglas are going to be doing, the teleseminar, starting February 6th, please go to accessconsciousness.com, one word, accessconsciousness.com. And if you go to facilitators, find a facilitator, USA, Texas, you'll find Jill listed there. Outstanding class. All in nice little snippets so you can process all the information and really enjoy yourself. We will have the links put up on all of our websites. We'll do some broadcast emails to the zillions of folks that we have on our database on a lot of the classes that this particular class, so you can get there real quick. And Audrey's coming into town in February for Foundation on Level 1 here in Kansas City, and Celia Fox in St. Louis has got some bars classes, and we have some bars classes coming up in February, and Julie Schultz has got a bars class this weekend, so we've got lots of action going on in Santa Barbara, St. Louis, Fairfield, Iowa, North Kansas City, lots of exciting opportunities and possibilities for everyone. So, Jill, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today. Gosh, what a wonderful bunch of information. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun. Let's play again real soon.
Yes, we will.
We're learning to play very nicely.
Yeah.
Yay! I look forward to playing in person.
Yeah, the farmer with all the hunters, yes.
Hey, what a great position to be in.
Absolutely. Well, we're all set for this evening. Thank you very much. And Audrey, any closing words before Don takes us out with our...
You've got to stop saying that. I don't want to be taken out. It sounds like a mafia term. Don's going to take us out.
Well, Jill, thank you so much, honey. We look forward to listening to your telecall in a couple of weeks. May everybody get all that they require from you and consciousness and everything in the world. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And you guys are so much fun to play with. We'll have to do this again weekly, I think. David keeps asking me, can we do it again?
We're going to be working on that.
And if you have anything that you'd like to hear about, please let us know, because we're happy to have these amazing people show up and talk to you, too. So thank you, everybody, and...